I want you to think about what we've been talking about now for several months. I didn't think it was going to go that long, but it has. I kind of have a mixture of a Kenneth Copeland and Keith Green anointing to expand things. But maybe we need to be expanded upon, amen? And the concept is this, that the presence of God has great delivering power in our lives. And it delivers us from everything that the devil tried to bind us with. The key is, though, we've got to be continually consistent in staying connected, living contact with him. I mentioned to you weeks ago, a lot of Christians are running around holding their spiritual breath and wonder why they are defeated. You can't live very long without oxygen in the natural. And you can't live without the oxygen that's given, the spiritual forces given from connecting with God. And so today, just this has been in my spirit for a few weeks. God wants us to be set free by his presence from the spirit of religion and permanently. That is something that will hinder you and it will try to crop up. And I'll tell you this, I've seen people hooked on drugs. I've seen people dealing with life-controlling problems. I've seen people deal with relational issues. I've seen people deal with sexual sin. But I'll tell you, the greatest bondage I have ever seen in terms of difficulty to overcome was a spirit of religion. And you'll be amazed that you'll be sitting under the word one day and all of a sudden you'll hear something under the spirit of God being taught and a little bit of religious demon will jump up and try to talk to you. Well, that's not what Grandpa always said. That's not how we always did it. That's irrelevant. It's what does the Word of God say? We don't dishonor Grandma or Grandpa and Mom and them, but what? We stick with the Word of God. So let's talk about this. Right now, the body of Christ is being inundated with a new resurrection of the Pharisee spirit. All they want to do is criticize and cut, expose and lambast and correct and slander. Everybody's doing it wrong but them. You say, why would people act like that? Just like the Pharisees, there's something there they want to protect. And so when God's hand is on somebody and they don't particularly like it, they go after them. And now with social media and the tools that are out there, you can do this 24 hours a day. You can be just as ornery and slanderous as you want to be. And somehow you can get away with it. Well, I'll tell you this, God will bring you to account one day. But the key is, me is not dealing with them. The key as a pastor is making sure that I shepherd you in such a way that you're protected from that. You know how to deal with that. You know how to discern between what the Word of God says and what the Pharisee spirit is trying to say. Because there's always an agenda with the Pharisee spirit. Remember what that spirit did in the Bible days. That spirit offered up Jesus. That spirit stoned and killed the prophets. That spirit persecuted the early church. And nothing has changed. Those who will walk with God in spirit and in truth and the power of God and the revelation of God's word, you will be persecuted. But you automatically think, well, that's the world. It's never been the world.
That's true.
It has always been some manifestation of religion. Now, understand this, that religion is in the business of bondage. Say that with me. Religion is in the religion of bondage. It's in the business. Got religion on the mind tonight. Say, the business of bondage. All the Pharisee spirit has done is change clothes for modern times. It's still with us. Amen? It literally means return to bondage. Now, you know, in the fundamental realm, it's okay if you understand what James, for example, meant with religion. He was talking about, you know, piety that stems from faith. But literally, religion means to bind together or to tie together. And last thing you want to be is tied together to the wrong thing. Can I have an amen? Amen. Religion does not draw you closer to the Lord any more than your previous worldly way of life. In fact, when you're dealing with the world and religion, you are dealing with two sides of the same coin. And I remember this. I grew up with people in our church, and some were, of course, you know, more devout than others. But I watched a lot of people go to church. They had religion, and they slipped into the world from religion. There are a lot of people who go from religion and slip into the world. You're not supposed to be slipping into religion or the world. You're supposed to be slipping into Jesus and then stay there. Religion and the world are two sides of the same coin. It's like a two-headed snake. You get bit by either one of them, it'll poison you, and it will harm you, and it will hinder you. Religion is actually just another manifestation of the world. Jesus equated religion with the world, and so should we. In 1 John 2:15, Scripture says, do not love the world or anything in the world. James said that's friendship with the world. Why were they so vehemently opposed to Jesus and anybody that ever walked in the truth? Because he exposed what they really were. You know how light will expose what?
Darkness.
Now, part of the shaking thing is the manifestation of the glory of God. Remember, we taught you about the process of glorification. Aren't you glad your spirit man is perfect? There's nothing wrong with you spiritually. But you what? You live in a body.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and say, I love you, but your body's not perfect. No. And your soul has not arrived. There's a renewing of the mind, a submitting of the will can have an amen. A domination and understanding what role your emotions play. Your emotions were never given to you to control your life, but to what? To experience life, but not run your life by what you feel. You know, someday I think the church is going to get it. The last great frontier of Christian victory is in the emotional realm. You'd be amazed how fast emotion can take you out of victory, take you out of right talking, right speaking, right acting, right deciding, all in the emotional realm. You will never be on this planet a day where you don't need to put your foot down on your mind, your will, and your emotions. And make sure you're diligent about this. That's just what the word is. That's just how we operate as the people of God. Are you here today? So what do you do? How do you handle this thing? You realize that the glory, the glorification, which remember this, it's the restoration of the manifest presence of God. That's his presence, his power, and his goodness back onto his people. When you were in the garden, right, vicariously through those that went before us, they made a bad decision. And originally they were clothed in glory. I always love how Brother Copeland described this, because he described it, if you looked into heaven, you see little balls of light walking around. And then sin came and the light went out. And the first thing they wanted to do was what? They noticed they were naked. Their eyes were open. They covered themselves with a fig leaf. So watch this. We went from a glory covering to a fig leaf. How the mighty have fallen. And Lord begins to enact what? Redemption by the shedding of blood provides skins for them. Right? Well, I guess that's better than a fig leaf.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Think Tarzan. And Jane. And that is where 99% of the body of Christ has stopped. The whole purpose of what Jesus did, restoration of redemption, is the re-glorification of his people. The spirit has already been re-glorified. Say, re-glorified. But you and I know the rest of us is still a work in progress. So God's goal for us, his dream for us, is that the clothing we lost in the garden would be restored to us for all eternity. We can't be satisfied with fig leaves, can I have an amen?
Amen.
And we can't be satisfied with skins. God never designed for skins to be the last covering of his people, but what? The restoration of that glory. Look at somebody and say, brighten up, you're about to be a glory ball all over again. Amen. But you'd be amazed. How many people? Well, I'm saved. I got my skin on. Glory to God. Well, he's not done yet.
Thank you.
You say, well, what on this earth can I experience? You can experience a lot of his glory in this planet, if you will, if you will line yourself up with that. But a lot of people are freaked out by the glory of God.
Yep.
Now, they'll relegate it off to those crazy charismatics or Pentecostals, those nutty, you know, word of faith people. They don't know what they're talking about. It's kind of strange on the fringe. The reality is they're kind of intimidated by it, and I'll tell you why. And a lot of people, even in the body of Christ, are intimidated in general. And I don't want you to be. Say, I'm not afraid of the glory of God. But the problem with the glory of God is that not only is the restoration of God's power, his goodness, you know, the manifestation of his goodness, manifestation of his presence, and the things he wants to do in your life, it will also reveal and expose things. So the time to deal with stuff is not when you see a fresh manifestation of the glory in a family or in a house of faith, but before.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Just like, you know, we value tongues and interpretation, prophecy, but it freaks a lot of people out. And I'll tell you why. You don't realize that somebody could be sitting in the service tonight, heard everything she said, and totally freaked out. The only reason you haven't left is you want to be polite. By the middle of my message, you'll get tired of being polite and you'll walk out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just getting wound up here, just getting started. You don't value these things. Oh, you like the music and the lights, and you know, you like the refreshing, you know, modern sound and the casual dress. But when the Holy Ghost, say, everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost starts doing things, all of a sudden it's, oh, that's not for me. Let me tell you something. Don't put him in a box.
Amen.
I said, don't put him in a box. Amen. Brother Osteen used to say, don't throw the Holy Ghost in the back, you know, let him move in your life. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Well, you need to understand that when the glory comes, so does what? Consciousness of what needs to be corrected. Right? So that we can enjoy everything that he has promised us. I mean, I remember years ago, you know, the series of things that manifested in people's lives. You know, people I love dearly, and I've watched God do a restoring work in every single one of their lives. But I watched this, how there were things that were just uncovering and unfolding. And my question to the Lord was, what are we doing wrong? If something that's wrong in any of our lives is it bubbles up, and it has to be dealt with, our first inclination is we must be doing something wrong. And then I sat under one of the greatest teachers that ever walked the face of this earth, Brother Sister Gloria Copeland. And she was teaching on the glory of God. And what she said was, the glory of God will expose as well as empower.
Yeah.
We weren't doing something wrong.
No.
About to lose a couple of you here. Deep conviction and correction does not mean you're necessarily wrong spiritually. It means that God is trying to take you to a higher place and you can't take that junk with you. It's really the mercy of God moving in your life. Say it to me, correction is good. Conviction is good if we respond to it. So listen to what I'm saying. With these manifestations, this always happens, even if you're not personally aware of it. A tongue goes forth. It can happen during the tongue. The tongue itself has power in the church and needs to be interpreted. We understand that. The prophecy has power. What you don't realize is the person who's behind this could be speaking individually to people and dealing with them, and they're going to use the manifestation as an excuse to unplug, but it's really what the Holy Ghost is saying to them personally during that time that they don't like. Are you here tonight? And what we need to be is, you know, I want everything you have. Instead, bow up in your little religious spirit. Not for me. Well, you will find countless examples of fellowships that absolutely love the fellowship of the potluck dinner. I'm not a big fan of potluck dinners. I'll tell you why, I've had food poisoning before. You have it once in your life and you walk cautiously. Amen. And if I know certain people brought a certain dish, I think I'll just have the dessert. Amen. Sirloin stockade, I trust. Yes, amen. We'll just leave that right where it's at. Glory to God. But it's an interesting phenomenon that spirit of religion is what tries to suppress and put down and control and dominate the move of God. And all God's just trying to do is bless people. Saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost 3 days before I graduated high school, I have never been able to say anything but what good the Holy Ghost has done in my life.
Amen.
Every step of the way.
Amen.
You know, it's like, oh, it's going to do something bad. You know, be careful. Be careful of what? Like your life is a raging success without him? Walking around all down in the mouth all the time and sour, you know, in the face and complaining and grumbling and murmuring. And yeah, what a picture of victory you are. No, you don't need the Holy Ghost in your life. No, you need a triple dose of the Holy Ghost in your life. But as long as it's manageable, controllable, orderly, then that, you know, that you can get along perfectly with that Pharisee spirit. And let me tell you something. Be very careful. Pharisee spirits wear skinny jeans today. I just lost five more of you right there. If they're hip, they can't possibly be Pharisees.
Yeah.
I'm about to lose you, aren't I? I'm about to lose y'all. Okay. Come on, say the Pharisee spirit. Even wear skinny jeans. Look at your neighbor and say, you probably should. Mm-hmm. When you read Luke 4:18 through 21, Jesus quoting Isaiah 61, you find out that when the Spirit of the Lord is upon a situation, it relieves burdens. It sets people free. It heals them. That's what he does. Now, where the Spirit of God sets people free, the spirit of religion binds up and holds. It binds us to the realities of redemption. We can't see what's right in front of us. A lot of people can go to church all their lives and never understand what God has already paid for them to have. And there's that spirit of religion trying to talk them out of everything he already died to give us. I tell you, sometimes you just need to stiffen your back like titanium and say, you know what? You are not talking me out of what he died and paid such a high price to give me. You want to go that way, that's fine, but I am going to tap into this. And I could care less about your mouth. Could care less about your criticism, you know, your disapproving looks. I'm going to go ahead and press into everything because he hung on that cross for me. He bore every sin on that cross for me. He bore every sickness and disease on that cross for me. The shame, the oppression, the sickness, the disease, the poverty for me. How stupid is it for us to reject what he pays such a high price to give us?
That's right.
That's what religion would, and it doesn't even make any sense. You know, if I showed up with a will and you're in that will, and somewhere in this state, somebody left you just piles of cash and real estate and assets and stocks, there's not a one you say, oh, no, thank you.
Bring it on.
I wouldn't want to take what's in the will for me. Of course you would, liar. You would take it. But here is the will of God, not signed with some stupid lawyer's pen, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to take that.
It's good. Good word.
Huh? I'll just take a little forgiveness, a little slice of heaven, a little shack on the other side of the river. What kind of spirit would talk people out of what is plainly there scripturally? The Pharisee spirit, the spirit of religion. Religion will try to shame you away from tapping into your full redemption. You can go so far, but don't you dare try to go ahead for everything that God has for you. That's their choice. But as for us, we can say Romans 1:16 is our mantra. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and the salvation to them that believe. All the soteria, all the soundness, all the wholeness is ours. If you don't want it, that's your choice. Let me say it again. If I was standing in front of a wooden pulpit, I'd pound it right now. I don't want to pound this thing because it will fall to the floor. If you don't want it, that's fine, but you have no right to talk someone else out of it. Just go live your life and don't receive anything. But you should be encouraging one another, spurring one another on to love and good works. So if somebody's agreeing for something, you should believe with them.
Amen.
Amen.
Whatever it is. Well, I could never get that or imagine that. Well, that's you. It's a mind-renewing issue. And it's the impression of the spirit of religion. Religion is poison to the manifestation of your redemption. You can't put up with it. And if the Holy Spirit identifies it in your life, then repent of it and go on. You know, you can be saved 50 years and that junk can still show up in your life.
That's right.
And bubble up out of what? Because you've been alive a long time.
Yeah.
You know, most of us aren't like Tim and Tyler where they grew up in this. You know how precious it is to hear nothing growing up but the word of faith, nothing but the things of the Spirit? That's not most of our testimony. You've got a lot of junk in there. Sometimes we like it. Nice junk. Nice false doctrine. I couldn't get up by a nice false religion. It's been around too long. Don't be so enthralled with your religious culture that you're willing to give up the redemption for it. Be vulnerable. Just go ahead and tap into what he has for you. Because how many have found that he has some good stuff in your life? Sometimes Kelly and I just sit back and just marvel at the goodness of God. Amen. Our taxable income the first year we were married was $3,000. He didn't lack for anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? What was the key? The key, we were smack dab in the middle of God's will.
Amen.
Amen. Doing what he wants you to do. Your soul is prospering. Amen. It's important you understand. And when God does something, don't be ashamed of what he does.
That's right.
Now, at the same time, don't cast your pearl before swine. You do have to be careful who you share your blessings with.
Yes.
Not because you're ashamed of them.
Yeah.
Because that little religious thing will come out of them. Amen. We want to rejoice when someone else is doing well. Rejoice when they get a healing. Rejoice when they get a deliverance. Rejoice when they get a blessing. Rejoice when they get that job. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Why would people do the opposite? Religion. I'll give you some examples of the spirit of religion in action. Look at Matthew 23, if you would. Anytime you want to study what the spirit of religion looks like in detail, just read that chapter and just say, oh God, keep me from that. How many know you don't want to be whited sepulchres with dead men's bones on the inside of them? Here's what this spirit is all about. Woe to you, teachers of the law, verse 13. And Pharisees, you hypocrites, you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter. And understand the kingdom of heaven, God's ways of doing and being right, what he possesses, his governance, how he operates, his spiritual laws, amen, law of faith, law of lust, seed time and harvest, all that has to do with the operation of the government of heaven. You shut it in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Now you have every right to do what? Not enter. You have no right to try to stop somebody else. And that's what that Pharisee spirit does. You know, just be content. Just be religious. Just be ornamental. Just, sit up and be quiet. Cooperate. I love Jerry Savelle's testimony. When he got turned on for God, got born again, spirit filled, started reading the Word of God, started reading King and about the blood of Jesus. And he's riding the front seat with the pastor, a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And he had this in his pocket. He asked him, well, what are you reading there, Jerry? What are you reading there? Oh, this is great. This is about the blood covenant. Oh, be careful with that, Brother Jerry. He said, when I was lost and a total heathen, they're praying for me to get saved and become part of church. And now that I'm saved, oh, don't get too saved. Smile at somebody and say, you're saved, but you could be walking in more of your salvation. Aren't you glad that Brother Jerry left a legacy of not compromising, not backing down? Amen. You remember in the scripture, religion tried to stop Zacchaeus from his life change. Could you imagine what the Pharisees and the Sadducees, amen, and the teachers thought about Zacchaeus and Jesus having that powwow? But was he not changed by that encounter? Was he not transformed by being in the presence of God? Amen. When a thief and a con man starts getting rid of his stuff and doing restitution, you know something happened on the inside. There was more than just food shared that night. Religion tried to stop a healing in Luke chapter 4. They waited until the sunset to show up. Could you imagine? Because the healing power only works after dark. Religion. Religion tried to stop forgiveness. Jesus was trying to operate in forgiveness and mercy towards a woman taken in adultery. And what were they trying to do? Quick to the stone. Say, watch this. They're completely filled with sin themselves, but they want to stone somebody else because they don't like this whole mercy thing. They don't realize it as they need it more than anyone. Be very careful in your life when you are becoming more judgmental and harsh than you are merciful. If you're going to make a mistake on what? On the side of mercy. Because if you don't, you will be judged by the same standard you apply to other people. Now, that said, if you say something biblically that somebody doesn't like, you're not judging them. You're just sticking to the Word of God. Amen? I mean, anybody who wants to come here can come here. There is no sign out that says that certain kinds of people can't come in here.
No.
People with certain strongholds can't come in here. But we can't come in here and then expect the leadership and the teachers and the preachers here to condone somebody's sin. They walk in here as a meth addict, right? You love them, you accept them. But what? You try to get them out of that bondage, not tell them it's perfectly fine to stay in that bondage. And that's where many in the church have gone to, condoning in an effort to get them in. And so they come in, but they never get delivered. And the fact is, if you give, you know, license to that spirit will influence more people in your church than you can imagine. Amen. Say it, spirit of religion. Spirit of religion tried to stop the gift of perfume when the woman anointed Jesus. Watch how this works. Couldn't that be sold and given to the poor? I love when I get these people just rail on social media. I can't believe that church built that fellowship hall. I can't believe they built that tool. I can't believe they built that building. I can't believe they bought that airplane for the ministry. You know what they're saying is? God can only give you an airplane or feed the poor. You can't do both. That church can't build that multi-million-dollar building and take care of people who are hurting and without resources. Is that your God or is that a man-made God? Let me help you out. If God can deliver a $70 million aircraft into an intercontinental ministry, right? That he can take care of the poor as well.
Yes, he can.
Righteous, right? And so she's just pouring out love on Jesus. And religion rises up and says, oh, couldn't be done. And watch this. We often think, well, he's just being a good steward because he was a treasure. No, he was a thief, first of all, right? Yeah. But watch this. When you are trying to save God a buck by drawing some kind of distinction, these people are doing this, they could use that money over here. First of all, God didn't anoint you to make that decision, Judas. But watch this. Make up your mind that you're going to be on Jesus' side versus Judas' side. The poor you have always. Did you know what Jesus did? He allowed that woman to waste all that stuff on his feet just so he wouldn't have stinky feet anymore. I'm telling you, it's alive and well. It's alive and well. And you know, and one ministry has no right to look at another ministry and say, you shouldn't be doing that. You didn't call them. You didn't fund it. You didn't give it. You didn't support it. You have no business telling them what they should be doing. But that Pharisee spirit, see, has to stick their nose into everybody's business. Amen. Say it with me. If God can provide for a multi-million-dollar building or a jet or a fleet of vehicles or a string of churches or schools or orphanages, he can provide food for the hungry. See, they're criticizing somebody with an expansive faith because theirs is limited. They have a small God, so they're judging the person that sees God is big. Amen? It's a pretty wicked spirit, isn't it? Religion tried to stop the voice of faith in Bartimaeus. Amen? Suck the disciples into this. Shut up. He didn't have time for you. The problem is when somebody catches a vision of Jesus and gets a revelation that he is Savior and he is healer, you can't shut that person up. Amen. So what did he do? He just cried out all the more. That was the voice of religion trying to silence him. The voice of faith came out of him. And which one did Jesus listen to? The voice of religion or the voice of faith? He listened to the voice of faith and he said, call him. Listen. And Jesus listened. What do you want me to do? How many love for Jesus to show up and ask you that? Well, that's exactly what his word does. What do you want me to do? I'm going to see. Amen. This is always going to be the dynamic. The voice of religion, the Pharisee spirit, or the voice of faith. Make sure you're on the right side of that. Amen. That same spirit of religion will try to keep you from getting saved. How many know that's true? Y'all have some people standing your way before you got saved? Yeah. I did. I grew up in a religious environment and never really taught the new birth. But I can't tell you how many times there were influences came across my path trying to even stop me from even getting saved. What was that? You might hear people thought you were crazy because you were pursuing the things of the Spirit, getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And how many, after you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you lost some friends? If you haven't yet, you will.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's better to go with God. I got born again, spirit filled. I mean, I got a dose. My sister laid hands on me in a hot summer June night, and it was just that way. And I mean, my friends were freaking out. And one of them went up to James after this happened. My brother said, "What happened to your brother? What happened to him?" And this person goes and rolled their eyes. Well, he saw the light. You better believe I saw the light. Huh? And that person needed to see the light as well.
That's right.
Amen. My brother James, when Tammy came home, she rededicated her life to the Lord, got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Transformation was obvious, unless you were just dead as a brick. I mean, if you're just being honest about it, you could see what God was doing in her life, right? And my brother said, Tammy's gone off and joined some cult. About 6 months later, I joined that same cult. It's called the Holy Ghost cult. Amen. It's called the life cult, the word cult. Don't expect people to stand up and applaud your momentum and your forward motion. The funny thing now is all four of us are born again.
Amen.
Amen. Because if we didn't get born again, Doris would kill us. And if she, act straight, she'll come back. She'll say, "Lord, hold that banquet." Amen. Aren't you glad that you don't have to be stopped? That same spirit will try to stop you from getting healed. Amen. Don't you believe God's just trying to teach you something? Yes. No. God doesn't need heaven, hell's tools to teach you anything. He's got the word of God.
That's right.
It's hilarious, though. You can see the duplicity. Jesus called them hypocrites. You see why? Because they're presenting one thing, and then there's really a face behind that that's a lot different. People will say God doesn't heal anymore. This is a major Pharisee spirit right now in this country, denying miracles and the miraculous. They're petrified of this thing because they don't want to lose their... Same thing with the Pharisees of Jesus' time. They don't want to lose their influence and their position, their power. These things don't exist anymore. Healing is passed away. And yet they would do everything they can, cross heaven and earth, to find someone who can help them medically because they don't believe in being healed. They believe it. They just want to do it their own way outside of the system of faith. Amen? Yeah. They try to stop you from getting delivered God's way. Stop you from being prosperous. Amen? Stop you from reading things and exposing yourself to ministries that will build your faith. You know that Joel Osteen, all he does is build your hope. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? Imagine that. Somebody actually inspiring people and giving them hope through the gospel. That's a terrible, terrible thing. Burn those. There's a preacher in this county for years used to say, "Burn Joel's books, burn them, whatever." I mean, I can't imagine anybody telling people to do something like that. Why would someone do that? Because they're afraid of what? Their influence. Amen. It could be something there that takes root in their heart and in their life. Now, you have to use discernment out there. Amen. Flow with people, the Holy Ghost and the Word people. And even some of them are wacky. Are you here? And Keith Moore talking about this. Brother Hagin used to say, at least have the... He said, eat the hay and leave the sticks alone. There you go. A lesson on discernment tonight. Praise God. So what's the antidote to the spirit of religion? You want to write these things down. Just meditate on these on your own time. You need to develop and protect your personal relationship with Christ. That's it. It's not expression, your relationship with the church. It's an expression of your relationship with Christ. It is not the main thing. What you do is not the main thing. Your identity is in Him. Your relationship is in Him. Your intimacy is in Him. Your life, your oxygen comes from Him. The church certainly benefits from that. but you get it from Him. That's why when you show up as a child of God, it's not you just getting something from church. You're bringing something to church. You are causing something to happen with your faith and your life. At all costs, there's nothing you have more valuable than your relationship with Him. You can't live off what your spouse has. You can't live off what your kids might have. It's the funniest thing in the world right now. Bryce can tell you this. Our LC staff, our academy staff can tell you that our kids are getting turned on for God and going home and causing problems for their relatives. Getting saved and speaking the word of God and praying the prayer of faith. Amen. And a little child shall lead them. But that's the way it should be. Amen. But you know, at the end of the day, that child's faith is not going to get them where they need to go. They need to run with God. Amen. You can't live off of a parent's walk with God. You can't live off of a pastor's walk with God. You need to have living contact yourself with Him. Hooked up, connected to Him consistently if you're going to flow in life. And I'll tell you this, it doesn't take very long even for a Christian to step out of vital union with Him where religion starts creeping back in again. Thinking those old ways, amen, letting your mind run amok, start making stupid decisions, start running based on your emotions, amen. Don't y'all look at me with a holy tone, you know what I'm saying is true. Step out of His presence, even for a small amount of time, and what will happen is your soul will be flooded with the influence of this world. Amen. I can tell you story after story after story after story where people are doing so well, doing great, then all of a sudden here came this emotion and they elevated that emotion above the word of God and everything fell apart. Why? Because your emotions aren't anointed to lead you. Amen. To be able to feel something strongly and deeply and not obey it, that is a mark of Christian maturity. There's going to be something wrong with you if you didn't feel anything. But the key is to feel it and then defer to the word of God.
Yes.
Amen. You got to have your own connection. It needs your own oxygen tank. Can I have an amen? Mm-hmm. Number two, take your medicine. Why? The word will kill religion in your life. Take it consistently. Find out what belongs to you in the word of God and refuse to let it go. Read Psalms like Psalm 103 and 112 and 128 and don't let anybody talk you out of them. These are my benefits. This is what the blood of Jesus has done for me. That word of God will drive out that spirit of religion. You know that's so true that Jesus said, you think you find salvation in the scriptures. And He said, the scriptures speak of me, but they had no revelation. They couldn't see it. So it's not just the word, it's understanding what you're actually receiving. Say it with me. I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Said, I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That word will push out religion. Get out of the word and religion will move right back in again. Anybody been there? Okay. Number three, be teachable. When you hear the scream of religion coming out of your heart, tell it to shut up and listen anyway. Because something good's about to happen to you. But a lot of people, that's it. You know, can't receive that. That's so different. No, that's not the question. The question is it biblical or not? Is it the word of God? When someone's trying to get you free and all you see is someone judging you, you're going to stay in bondage.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and that's how this works. Well, you're just judging me. No, that is somebody's reaction to want to stay where they are. It's really easy just to throw that verbiage out there. My take is that when you, are, as a child of God, have enough courage and love for somebody to tell them the truth, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
And what they don't realize is you really don't like doing it. Nobody likes getting in somebody's business spiritually. But thank God for people who will. That may be the only thing that keeps them from total destruction. But when that happens and somebody says, well, you're just judging, and they walk out your life or walk out your church, whatever the case may be, what's going on is they don't want to receive that. They are unteachable.
Amen.
Come on, confess with me. I've not arrived yet.
I'm not arrived.
I don't know it all. Say, I'm a know-a-lotta, but I'm not a know-it-all. Leave some room there for what? For growth and development in your own life. Amen. As long as you're teachable, you're going to continue to grow. As pastors, we see this all the time. Sometimes you can almost hear people gurgling in church. That's not my problem. You know, if you're still on a baby bottle and pacifier at night, that's not my fault. I mean, you have a chance to eat some meat. But you know, you have to put it in your mouth and you have to what? Get those juices going. You have to chew it. You do have something to do in this process. You just don't sit there and go, okay, hit me with some revelation. I want some more, I want some more. It doesn't work that way. You got to be ready to receive it. And a lot of people, they reach a choke point. And that's the key to whether they continue to grow or they stop growing. It has nothing to do with what's going on in terms of God's direction and his ministry and the message he has for you. You know, the sad truth is you and I are as strong right now as we wanted to be.
Yes, that is true.
We have grown as much as we decided to be. Oh, no. No, no, no. It's got to be the superintendent's fault or the Sunday school guy's fault or the pastor's fault. No. You're as strong and grown up as you wanted to be.
Amen.
Amen. We've all been there where we ran across something that God was obviously saying, and it was a choke point for us. We have a choice at that moment. Believe God, accept it, and move on and grow, or stop. At your point where you choke, if you accept that choke, you're done. We'll find you in the same position in 20 years. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying you're not going to walk in all that God has for you because you reached your choke point and had nothing to do with the will of God. If you're having trouble with something, ask God. Show me. Teach me.
Yes.
Point me to the Word of God.
Yes.
You know, give me encouragement. Have somebody agree with you in prayer until you see something. But don't be a person who chokes just because something is different to you. If you're raised a Lutheran like I was, everything is different to you. I mean, you all don't know how nuts you were when you were over there on 16th and Glendale. You all were nuts. See, I wasn't there. I'm just saying, y'all, your spiritual type, you were nuts. I mean, you walk inside the door and people are smiling. That was the first tell. They were actually happy to be in church. They greeted each other. They hugged each other. They raised their hands. Doink, doink. We had a bongo player. Nothing says Missouri sin to the Lutheran church like a bongo player on the front row. He was really good too. Also led worship for our campus ministry. Yeah. It was all weird. And it wasn't long before some tongue and interpretation went up and amen. The culture was just what? Totally different. Now watch this. What if as an 18-year-old, I walk in the door and I just summarily judge and walk out the door?
Oh, my.
Where am I? I'm not here. Maybe I'm not even part of this particular spiritual family at all because I looked at that and I reached a choke point. I mean, this was years later on, we were pastoring in Hopkinsville, and I'm watching Brother Coatman teach on the woman with the what? Little two mites. Remember that story? And I remember, like it was yesterday. And he began to teach. He said, that woman knew the Old Testament story of what you do when you don't have anything. You give to God and expect him for some kind of a breakthrough. And I just started thinking, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. That woman just gave out of her heart. She wasn't expecting nothing. See, if you disconnect yourself from the old covenant scriptures and the examples they leave for us, you leave yourself out of some revelation.
Yeah, that's true.
Amen. And you've probably done the same thing. You didn't do it to Brother Copeland. You've probably done it to me. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my entire life. Can you believe he said that? It didn't take me long to understand after I had revelation that woman who put the what? Who put everything she had was sowing a seed in honor of God. And watch this, the Lord saw it.
Yes.
One of the things I want to know when I get up there is, what did you do for her? Because I know you did something outstanding for her.
Yeah.
You probably ruined Judas's day and said, give it all to her. Every single cent, give it to her. I don't know. Why do I know that? Because I know the scripture. There's no way that the woman in the Old Testament came in faith and did what she did, and Jesus saw this thing and left it undone. There's no way. But you see what Revelation will do to you versus religion? Spirit of religion says she didn't do that to get something.
No, she didn't.
No, she absolutely sowed in faith, expecting God to take care of her with nothing. She's not going anywhere unless she gets a breakthrough. Choke point. Yeah, there'd have been a few through the years. But if you choke and you just stay there, you stop growing. You got to make up your mind, no matter how long you live, all the way through your life on earth, and even into eternity. You think the teaching stops here? You think God just grabs you by the head and you get to heaven and says, mind meld, you got it all. It's just not going to happen that way. You're going to have teaching. And dear God, you do not want to be sitting in remedial faith class when you get to heaven. Or Holy Ghost 001. When the rest of y'all are in Holy Ghost 900. We didn't like that stuff. We didn't appreciate that stuff. You understand what I'm saying to you? This stuff is real. We are going to be eternal learners of the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. What does that tell you? Well, I've got it all. No. I don't know what happens to unteachable people in heaven, but it probably didn't go real well for them. We know from Scripture it didn't go real well for those that were cast out. Amen. Say, I'm a lifelong learner. Years ago, I heard Pastor Ben talk about this, defining a disciple, and we'll be talking about discipleship, the discipleship lens here in a few weeks. A disciple is a self-disciplined learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Self-disciplined what? Learner. Stop being self-disciplined, you're no longer a disciple. Stop being a learner, you're no longer a disciple. You're not following Jesus Christ, but religion or some church or some mandate, then you're no longer a disciple. It requires self-discipline. It requires learning. It requires you following the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Choke point. There have been a few through the years. When you find out that, you know, those crazy people at 16th and Glendale were absolutely right. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lift up holy hands without doubt, wrath, or disputing. Glory to God. Amen. Sing a new song. The other thing that was striking about that church, and y'all have it even on a Wednesday night, they actually sang and words and sound came out.
Yeah.
As Lutherans, we master the art of moving your mouth, acting like you're participating without sound coming out. We did. I'm just telling you, that's what we were. I can speak of my own personal experience. Why? Because until I was 17, it didn't come from the new birth. It came from religion.
Yeah.
Amen. But I kept a little bit. Mark your calendars. Christmas Eve, we'll be here for the candlelight service. It's the one night of the year I get to be Lutheran. Still love that service. Amen. Some of y'all love it because it's only 45 minutes long. Moving right along. Number four, resist the devil because he's the one behind the bondage of religion. Yep. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one that uses and manipulates religion to keep you bound. Resist him, the Bible says, and he will what?
Flee
from you. One of your biggest temptations will not be some, you know, addiction, not some drug, not some alcohol thing. It'll be a temptation to revert to religion. Because what does the Bible say when the Pharisee goes to and fro looking for a convert? He makes him twice the son of hell that he himself is. You ought to watch out for that. The number five today, hang around the uncompromisingly righteous. Hang around the crazy faith folks who believe the word of God without compromise. Hang around free people and you'll get freer. Hang around those that are in the bondage of religion and you'll stay bound and you'll continue to be bound. And it's not hard to find. I'm not saying don't be nice and loving and kind to everybody else, but your deep fellowship should be people like Precious Faith. When you tell them, I'm believing God for this lost love and be supernaturally delivered from alcoholism, they don't look at you like you're crazy.
That's right.
Well, we got AA. They can take care of it. Praise God for anybody that's helping somebody that's struggling. But let me tell you something. It's not just the discipleship they need. It's deliverance they need. Supernatural Holy Ghost power setting them free. It's not one or the other. That's what separates, you know, what we try to do here is there's a component there where there's a power available. Not some higher power, but the highest power.
Amen.
Where people are set free. Amen. Glory to God. You got to be real diligent because you could find yourself just slipping right back into religion, into a comfort zone. You know, I think it was Nancy Dufresne who said recently, she's in Eagle Mountain, and she said that God doesn't send you to a church so you can be comfortable there. Or because you like it.
True.
Listen carefully. You don't have to like Hope Harbor to know you're supposed to be here.
Amen.
That's humility. There's something he needs to work on in you. I'm the pastor here. Sometimes I don't like being here.
Good word, Pastor.
You know what he said.
Oh, yes, I've arrived. No bad days. No cantankerous people. Everything is just roses and sweetness. Does that make sense? You know, when a pastor gets ordained, then suddenly all the flesh is not sucked out of him. It's still discipleship. It is still renewing the mind. It is still, amen, repenting when you need to. It is still the walk of faith. It's like you. But somehow we've created a culture in America is go where you like. Go where you want to go. You like the music. You like the kids program, you know. You need to go where God wants you to go. And Nancy, I think, literally upended her entire traveling ministry into Fort Worth to sit in that ministry. That was a huge undertaking. Turned church over to her children. I don't know much about the story, but I believe that's what happened. And did that because that's where they're supposed to be. Okay. But I'm in Murray. How did I get in Murray? That's not the question. Are you where you're supposed to be?
That's right.
Amen. I know how Joy got here. We prayed her in.
Yep.
That's great. We sure did. Yeah. And I'm not going to tell you how old she is. I'm just not. There's no way. And I've learned my lesson. Yes, I have. Amen. Respect your elders, Pastor. Whoops. All you know is that she's a little older than me. A little. But she been with Capital One, working for the chief financial officer and the CEO there. Tremendous level of responsibility, worked in law, worked over here at Pella, and we had transitioned our own business office, and she came in. She had just had surgery, and she was stoned in an interview with me. Yeah, she was stoned. I want you to remember that during the business meeting Sunday. She was stoned when she came in for her interview. And this is what I said. I said, Joy Stone, you're still 10,000% more qualified than anybody else I know. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Especially in these last days, you need to be where you're supposed to be. That's your most blessed place. Well, I want to be blessed. I want to be victorious. You find what God has for you, and you skip all the religion and the nonsense and the self-direction and all that goes with that. I like this, I don't like that, and just sit down because God's trying to do something in you. And no, it doesn't always feel good to have God take a chainsaw to your spirit. But sometimes you need it. Subtlety is not needed. Sometimes blunt force spiritual trauma is what's needed.
Mercy.
Just remember one day years ago, he's with Jesus now. He walked out of the service. He goes, "You just got all 10 of my toes today." Walks out like that. And I said, "I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your head. And I missed." No. Spirit of religion is dangerous. You and I operate in things like the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of God. Amen. We operate in the anointing. But understand this. Your time in his presence is what shoves that stuff to the perimeter. And listen, and when you do not spend that time, there's a vacuum created. You find yourself with old thought patterns, amen, emotions trying to rise up again, bad decisions, conflict, amen. Everything that goes with that, despondency, depression, and discouragement, all the nonsense that goes with it emotionally. No, make sure that you're breathing in every single day. Amen. Amen. We can't afford to be succumbed to what? That spirit of religion that used to control all of our lives. Amen. Can you receive that tonight?
Amen.
I say, can you receive that tonight?
Amen.
Come on, confess it. I don't have a spirit of religion.
Spirit.
I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of the Lord lives large in me. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Say, I believe. I'm not ashamed. And I refuse to give away anything. He died to provide me. And that's what religion will do. It will steal from you. Ultimately, it's up to you and it's up to me. You do get to a point where you just kind of just draw a line and say, I've crossed that faith line and I'm not coming back again. Say, I'm a faith person. I'm a Holy Ghost person. I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. Glory to God. The tendency that causes you to grow is to search your heart and open up your spirit to what God is doing. Go and then evaluate everything that you're seeing and experiencing by the Word of God. And you'll stay healthy. You'll stay protected. Just because your flesh doesn't like some doesn't mean God's not trying to do something in your life.
Amen.
Your flesh is not the standard of what God's trying to do. Oftentimes, it's the exact opposite. Amen. Let's pray over this today. Amen. Anybody here say with a raised hand, yeah, you got a little bit of religion left in you and kind of need to crucify that junk? Amen. All right. Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, it finds a sure place, a solid place in the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, we understand the good things you have for us, the prophetic word over this ministry and this church. We want to be a part of that reglorification. We want to be a part of an end time move of God. But we understand, Lord, we have to stay on the course. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory for your word today. We thank you. We've all been set free from that bondage. And we're not going back to the world or to religion. We're going to keep walking with him consistently, fellowshipping with him. And we thank you, Father, for helping us to continue to grow. Lord, there's not going to be a choke point for us when it comes to the things of the Word of God. We're going to consistently receive and be grateful and thankful for it and walk in it. And Father, we just give you praise. Why don't you do that right now? Just lift a hand to him and just praise him and thank him. Say, I receive. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the ability to receive it. I thank you, Lord, it will not be snatched from my heart. I thank you, Lord, it will not go by the wayside. Trouble and persecution comes because of that word. I will not falter. I will not wilt. I will stand. I will not be distracted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the distractions of this life. I will have that word, that seed in the sure place, and it will grow 30, 60, and 100-fold in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.